Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, boy. All right. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker. Filling in, you can find me online, Ryan Recker Radio. We do have the YouTube live chat poll up right now. Ryan Wiggins, what can people vote on?
Which of these will have the greatest impact on the 2024 presidential race? Number one, illegal immigration. Number two, economy. Number three, personality. Or number four, whatever else you think it might be. That would be other. And then let us know what that is in the comments.
Okay. All right. Looking forward to hearing the results of that one. So there's been a task force put together to investigate the Trump assassination attempt. Bipartisan Speaker Mike Johnson and Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries from New York announcing a bipartisan task force to investigate this that happened not that long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, this assassination attempt. Okay, let's look into this. So the report that they would put together, are you confident that they will get all the answers they need? Because I've seen some of this testimony from Cheadle, and she didn't give any answers. I mean, it was pathetic. The display that we saw there, zero transparency of what's going on. Do you think this is all for show because they have to do it, or do you think they'll actually uncover something?
I don't think they're going to uncover anything. They've been questioning FBI Director Christopher Wray today. He has said some things we didn't know, you know, about the shooter's internet search history and things. So it's good to see that there's some information coming out. But this is all just kind of, I'll tell you this, when I realized that Fox News was covering this live today, I thought this is very important and I am not interested in it because I just didn't think that anything was going to happen and I still don't.
You know, whenever I look at this whole situation and as I've had time to digest what happened and how things are going down and the stuff that's coming out, one of the phrases that keeps popping back into my mind is never attribute malice to what can be easily explained by incompetence. And I think what we're finding out is that this was a massive failure. And this is more example of incompetence in that position than anything malicious or anything like, I don't think there was some sort of subterraneous plot to like make it easy to have Donald Trump assassinated or anything like that. I've seen the all of the conspiracy theories out there. I've seen a lot of them. I don't buy it. I think that this is easily explained by incompetence and laziness and a lack of attention to detail. Some of the stuff I saw about, I was listening to Josh Hawley talk about this. He was talking about the roof, the sloped roof. He said there was supposed to be people on that roof. They weren't on there. It was hot. And so they were supposed to be stationed outside the building. Well, they weren't outside the building because they went inside because it was hot and they were inside in the air conditioning. It's stuff like that. Attention to detail, having all your bases covered, looking at all these. They identified that area as a threat area, and they just didn't do anything about it.
Well, let me challenge one thing on that and see what you think about this. So we've learned that this is what happened after the fact. You just kind of give a quick timeline. Donald Trump came out and said, we requested more Secret Service agents. Then they came out and they said, well, no, he didn't request that. Well, actually, that's turned out to be a lie because we find out that from all the events he's been hosting for the past couple of years, he's requested over and over and over and over more Secret Service, and he's denied. So he's been requesting this for a long time. So do you think perhaps, and this is why you talk about malice, do you think the denial of extra Secret Service agents is because they hate Donald Trump? And if that's the case, is this more than just incompetence? So the reason I say that is because this was brought up during the testimony, too. They didn't have a problem putting extra Secret Service on anyone else on the Democratic side, including Jill Biden, who is with in front of, what, 400 people inside of a casino that's already heavily guarded. They gave her all the extra she wanted. They'll give anyone they want extra. But when it came to Donald Trump, they denied, 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 would not give him extra Secret Service protection. So to me, that says there is some malice there because they just hate the guy.
Well, I would say that. But if you looked at how they treated RFK Jr., they didn't give him any Secret Service.
Yeah.
I mean, it's consistent across the board. Now, I don't know if it's specific malice, if it's just like, hey, we don't have the personnel. I can't speak to that, but I'm looking at equal treatment of people that are running against the Biden. So you would have to either say it was malice toward RFK Jr. and Donald Trump.
I would say that.
Which I could see that. That would be believable. But that, to me, would come down from somewhere up above the Secret Service. And I still don't even think that that specifically applies to what happened in this event outside of they didn't have enough personnel.
Look, all it takes for that to be true is one or two people in the administration. Not even in the administration. You could call it the administration because it's like deep state. It's agency people. But one or two people in Washington who are in charge of allocating, you know, the Secret Service agents to say, you know what? We don't really like those guys. We don't care about them. Let's just, it's the same kind of stuff that they don't really get the full consequences of their actions, but they're playing politics with everything. And they say, yeah, we don't, let's give them the D-level security team.
But the other side of that is, too, could they just look at Donald Trump and say, oh, he's a narcissist. He's full of bravado. This is just a way for him to play up his thing, and he doesn't actually need it. Could it have come out of an assessment?
I will say this before we move on. The day of the assassination attempt, I was driving between Springfield and Branson, Missouri, and started getting texts. And so we got to our hotel within about 15 minutes of the news breaking, turned on the news right away, and was flipping through the channels because I wanted to get everything I could. Because at the time, you didn't know if the gunman was dead. You didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporting that I saw from CNN at the time was that not only had Donald Trump requested more Secret Service agents and been denied. This is from CNN.
Yeah.
But also that he was due to get more within a week after officially accepting the nomination.
And he didn't get those?
And he didn't get those. Well, he hadn't gotten the nomination yet because it was still 5 days away. So that led to a lot of conspiracies that, oh, the gunman would have known that security was lax right now and all this stuff. But I don't know if any of that's true. But CNN reported that all these things kind of culminated at the same time, that he didn't have as much protection as he should have. He didn't have as much protection as he would have a week later. And that, the you know, read into it what you will.
Yep, a complete breakdown. And for the longest time, we saw a erosion of the FBI. And for a while, you know, you looked at the FBI as this very respected government agency. And if you're an FBI agent or whatever it is, you're like, wow, that's the top of the top. And I would say over the past decade, that has been degraded so far to the point where people look at the FBI and they say, what incompetence. And now the Secret Service is at that level, too, where you can look at this complete breakdown and show that, wow, what we witnessed there from multiple camera angles, knowing what we know just from citizen journalists, for the most part, from people that have testified what they saw from that event. Now the Secret Service is like even lower than the FBI, which is kind of a crazy thing to think of. One of the things you mentioned about the testimony today from Ray is that the search history from the gunman pointed out that he was researching the JFK assassination before the shooting. That was kind of interesting. Do you think that, well, you have Christopher Ray on Capitol Hill talking about this, and he realizes that the head of the Secret Service at the time, Cheadle, was just not given any answers. There was zero transparency. She had no interest in answering questions. She was just a body there to read whatever the bullet point, prepared, generic, no answer was. Did you think maybe there was a little bit of pressure to give just a little bit of more morsel to make it look like they're more cooperative? But in the end, I don't think they're cooperative at all. On that.
Yeah, 100%. You know? I really do think that that's true. And again, you know, this is a multiple day investigation now playing out before Congress. This is something that Congress had to do. I don't blame them for doing it. I'm glad that they're doing it. But again, I just don't think that we're going to really find out anything important from this. The director of the Secret Service resigned. But if she was going to resign, she waited until after she saw that there was bipartisan criticism of her to resign.
Yep.
So I think she was very cowardice in doing that. If she was going to do it and thought, you know, I've really failed here, the pressure is on me, I'm gonna give up my position, just like they say the guy for Reagan did. Great. But she waited until afterwards. So I would say that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think that we're going to see anything. This is a little bit of a, hey, we're doing our jobs. Everybody pay attention because look how hard we are on these guys. But they're just deflecting. They're not giving you any. Nothing's really going to be found out here.
Let's just say this. Go ahead, Brad.
What I was going to say is if we found out that this guy is just a crazy guy acting on his own and went ahead and took the shot, do you even think that how many people would even accept that as the reality of the situation? If they did all the, real facts show that that's what this was. The Secret Service dropped the ball and that's what came out of it. This guy was a lone gunman. He wasn't acting on behalf of anybody. He wasn't trying to, do anything other than he was just crazy. He's taking a shot at Donald Trump and the Secret Service screwed up. It wasn't like they some sort of massive plot. Would people even accept that anymore in this environment?
I look at it's hard to hard to understand what would have happened if it was anyone else. So let's say that was Jill Biden, or let's say that was Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. God forbid. Let's just say that it happened anyone on the Democratic side. Do you think Joe Biden, as the president of the United States, would still go out there and praise Cheadle for her accomplishments on her way out? And, she did a great job. And thank you for everything you've done for this country and your service. Or do you think perhaps that person, whoever that person be, Cheadle or whoever, would have been fired immediately?
I think she's
because
fired.
She would have been fired. The fact is that Joe Biden did not act on this, given everything we know. Decided to allow this to play out as if she can continue to audition to keep her job as opposed to just firing her, shows you that he is a terrible leader.
Oh, yeah.
And just like Donald Trump pointed out during the debate, zero people were fired for that debacle in Afghanistan. No one loses their job in the Biden administration. You can be the worst at your job and you're allowed to continue on. It could go to show you that these are the type of people he's surrounding yourself with. And that's why this country is not in the great shape it needs to be, because no one ever loses their job for incompetence. No, you almost had a former president of the United States assassinated live on television for everyone to watch. And you still were able to keep your job if it was up to Joe Biden. That to me is unbelievable. To think that's even possible.
Ryan, it's not just that. It's that people who did lose their job due to incompetence under Donald Trump, he brought them back. You remember Peter Strzok? Mm-hmm. He was, I think it was him, that he was only a week or two away from getting pension or something like that.
Yeah.
He was just a week or two away from some major career milestone when Trump fired him. And he needed to be fired. He basically made up the entire investigation against Trump, and we know that to be true now. Well, the Biden administration brought him back so that he could get his pension.
Him or McCabe.
Or was it McCabe? Okay, it was one of those two. I remember thinking, you're going
to
bring these guys back
just
who were fired for incompetence just to give them their government money? That's incredible.
That is so telling to me, honestly. And this goes to the zero transparency side of the Biden administration. If there was some transparency, then I think we'd be able to see all the incompetence that's going on. But then they get upset when you actually see it for your own eyes. And then they try to tell you to deny everything you just saw. It's not how it looks. In fact, it's the opposite of how you looked. Even though you are a witness of what's going on, you can't trust your lying eyes. You can only trust us, the government. And that is a very dangerous position to come for. And I think a lot of people have moved away from, hey, let's trust the government and let's just take them for their word the whole time. And that, to me, is really the Biden administration in a nutshell. You know what? After the break, a couple of things I want to get to. And there's so many other topics I want to get to. I haven't been checking out. Are we getting comments on the YouTube poll and everything? Is that going pretty well?
We are.
I think. Awesome. I do want to talk about that. And a couple of other things I want to talk about. Who's Kamala Harris going to pick for her VP candidate? I think there's a lot of speculation swirling around that too. We haven't talked about the polling side of it too. Maybe we should talk about some polls because there are some new polls out of what's going to happen next. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for the Andy Fry Show. You can find me online on 97.1 FM Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just wanted Welcome back. So the speech to the joint session of Congress with Benjamin Netanyahu is currently happening. I saw that Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman from the Detroit area, you know, she was censured last year for, you know, shouting the Hamas from the rivers to the sea, decided to attend this. So I think some people are wondering if she's going to try to disrupt this speech. So far, I think it's going great. Can we listen to a little bit of it? I'm curious how this is going.
Sacrifice, and I pledge to you and to all the bereaved families of Israel, some of whom are in this hall today, the sacrifice of your loved ones will not be in vain. It will not be in vain. Because for Israel, never again must never be an empty promise. It must always remain a sacred vow. And after October 7th, never again is now. My friends, defeating our brutal enemies requires both courage and clarity. Clarity begins by knowing the difference between good and evil. Yet incredibly, many anti-Israel protesters, many choose to stand with evil. They stand with Hamas. They stand with rapists and murderers. They stand with people who came into the kibbutzim, into a home. The parents hid the children, the two babies, in the attic, in a secret attic. They murdered the families, the parents. They found the secret latch to the hidden attic, and then they murder the babies. These protesters stand with them. They should be ashamed of themselves. They refuse to make the simple distinction between those who target terrorists and those who target civilians, between the Democratic State of Israel and the terrorist thugs of Hamas. We recently learned from the National Security Director, U.S. Director of National Intelligence, that Iran is funding and promoting anti-Israel protests in America. They want to disrupt America. So these protesters burn American flags even on the 4th of July. And I wish to salute the fraternity brothers at the University of North Carolina who protected the American flag against these anti-Israel protesters. Thank you.
For all we know, Iran is funding the anti-Israel protests that are going on right now outside this building. Not that many, but they're there and throughout the city. Well, I have a message for these protesters. When the tyrants of Tehran, who hang gays from cranes and murder women for not covering their hair, are praising, promoting, and funding you, you have officially become Iran's useful idiots.
You're listening to Benjamin Netanyahu, who's live speak right now to a joint session of Congress. It's fantastic. Let's just keep listening to this.
Some of these protesters, it's amazing, absolutely amazing. Some of these protesters hold up signs proclaiming gays for Gaza. They might as well hold up signs saying chickens for KFC. These protesters chant from the river to the sea, but many don't have a clue what river and what sea they're talking about. They not only get an F in geography, they get an F in history. They call Israel a colonialist state? Don't they know that the land of Israel is where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob prayed, where Isaiah and Jeremiah preached, and where David and Solomon ruled? For nearly 4,000 years, the land of Israel has been the homeland of the Jewish people. It's always been our home. It will always be our home. It's not only the campus protesters who get it wrong. It's also the people who run those campuses. 80 years after the Holocaust, the presidents of Harvard, Penn, and I'm ashamed to say my alma mater, MIT, couldn't bring themselves to condemn the calls for the genocide of Jews. You remember what they said? They said, "It depends on the context." Well, let me give these befuddled academics a little context. Anti-Semitism is the world's oldest hatred. For centuries, the massacre of Jews was always preceded by wild accusations. We were accused of everything from poisoning wells to spreading plagues, to using the blood of slaughtered children to bake Passover matzos. These preposterous anti-Semitic lies led to persecution, mass murder, and ultimately to history's worst genocide, the Holocaust. Now, just as malicious lies were leveled for centuries at the Jewish people, malicious lies are now being leveled at the Jewish state. No, don't applaud. Listen. The outrageous slanders that paint Israel as racist and genocidal are meant to delegitimize Israel, to demonize the Jewish state, and to demonize Jews everywhere. And no wonder we've witnessed an appalling rise of anti-Semitism in America and around the world. My friends, whenever and wherever we see the scourge of anti-Semitism, we must unequivocally condemn it and resolutely fight it, without exception.
Some of those protesting this speech today by not appearing: Nancy Pelosi, Illinois' Dick Durbin, Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Kamala Harris.
Don't be fooled when the blood libels against the Jewish state
come from people who wear fancy silk robes and speak in lofty tones about law and justice? Here's a case in point. The prosecutor of the International Criminal Court has shamefully accused Israel of deliberately starving the people of Gaza. This is utter, complete nonsense. It's a complete fabrication. Israel has enabled more than 40,000 aid trucks to enter Gaza. That's 500,000 tons of food, and that's more than 3,000 calories for every man, woman, and child in Gaza. If there are Palestinians in Gaza who aren't getting enough food, it's not because Israel is blocking it, it's because Hamas is stealing it. So much for that lie, but here's another. The ICC prosecutor accuses Israel of deliberately targeting civilians. What in God's green earth is he talking about? The IDF has dropped millions of flyers, sent millions of text messages, made hundreds of thousands of phone calls to get Palestinian civilians out of harm's way. But at the same time, Hamas does everything in its power to put Palestinian civilians in harm's way. They fire rockets from schools, from hospitals, from mosques. They even shoot their own people when they try to leave the war zone. A senior Hamas official, Fathi Hamad, boasted, listen to this, he boasted that Palestinian women and children excel at being human shields. His words, excel at being human shields. What monstrous evil. For Israel, every civilian death is a tragedy. For Hamas, it's a strategy. They actually want Palestinian civilians to die so that Israel will be smeared in the international media and be pressured to end the war before it's won. This would enable Hamas to survive another day, and as they vowed, to carry out October 7th again and again and again. Well, I want to assure you, no matter what pressure is brought to bear, I will never allow that to happen. The vast majority of Americans have not fallen for this Hamas propaganda. They continue to support Israel. And I want to say thank you, America, and thank you, senators and House members, who continue to support us, continue to support Israel, continue to support the truth and see through the lies. But as for the minority that may have fallen for Hamas's cons job, I suggest you listen to Colonel John Spencer. John Spencer is head of urban warfare studies at West Point. He studied every major urban conflict, I was going to say in modern history. He corrected me, no, in history. Israel, he said, has implemented more precautions to prevent civilian harm than any military in history and beyond what international law requires. That's why, despite all the lies you've heard, the war in Gaza has one of the lowest ratios of combatants to non-combatants casualties in the history of urban warfare. And you want to know where it's lowest in Gaza? It's lowest in Rafah. In Rafah. Remember what so many people said? If Israel goes into Rafah, there'll be thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of civilians killed. Well, last week, I went into Rafah. I visited our troops as they finished fighting Hamas's remaining terrorist battalions. I asked the commander there, how many terrorists did you take out in Rafah? He gave me an exact number, 1,203. I asked him,
How many civilians were killed? He said, Prime Minister, practically none, with the exception of a single incident where shrapnel from a bomb hit a Hamas weapons depot and unintentionally killed 24 people. The answer is practically none. You want to know why? Because Israel got the civilians out of harm's way, something people said we could never do, but we did it.
Wow, quite the speech from Benjamin Netanyahu. And wow, we're going to have to analyze some of the things he mentioned there. And I got to say, really good things. There's a few things that stand out. And I know we're running late and we have to get to the break. How about we do that first? And when we come back, we'll give our impressions of that part of the speech we just listened to live here with Benjamin Netanyahu in front of the joint session of Congress speaking as we speak. On 97.1 FM Talk. Just heard Benjamin Netanyahu speak to Congress. I think he's still speaking. Is that right? So he's addressing Congress. There are some people there that are protesting, I guess, silently. Rashida Tlaib, I saw on social media, holding up a sign that says war criminal. I'm listening to the speech. I want to react to a couple of things from it. I don't know what to give first, the serious or the goofy, because it's a very serious speech. I feel like I want to get the goofy out of the way first. Is that okay?
Yeah.
How many presidents of the United States do you know that would be able to go to a foreign country and address their constituents, their people, in their language? To me, it's so impressive because I don't think any president has ever been able to make an address like this at another country, in another country, in their language, outside of JFK misquoting German, Ich bin ein Berliner, or whatever it was. So to me, I was so impressed because he can come in here, he can speak English. And I think this leads me to the more serious point. When the news you consume is fed by a terrorist organization, Hamas, then what you are consuming and you're allowing to consume is a Hamas message. Mm-hmm. I can understand why so many people have hatred for Israel. But I'm going to put this on the counterbalance. It wouldn't matter because they hate Israel. They probably hate Jews because they want to eradicate them from the planet. They hate them so much. I don't think it matters what he's saying here today to them, because it doesn't mesh with what their view is on these people. So what he is spitting right now is 100% pure truth. He is so true in everything he's saying here. I think there's a lot of people in Congress, luckily, are there to applaud and reaffirm what he's saying is true. That's a good thing, but it's not going to change any of the minds of the people that he was there to speak to.
I think what bothers me is that, I mean, first of all, like you said, with the speech itself, there are very few Americans who can give a speech like yeah. that, let alone as English as a second language. But you're right about the message. Now, I can't personally confirm all of the facts that he just gave. Mm-hmm. But you know what else I cannot confirm and really am more suspicious of is when Hamas gives me details about the war on their side. They are known liars. They lie all the time. What he's saying about them using their own civilians is 100% true. This isn't new either. This has been going on for decades. They put weapons, ammunition stations underneath hospitals and schools so that they can kill their own civilians mm-hmm. and control the message. The message is what matters. They are playing everybody all the time. It has been proven that they stage hospital visits at times with people in the hospital who are not actually there. Now, it doesn't mean that all of it's false, but it means that we have seen them lie. Mm-hmm. So why would you trust them when they're the ones feeding information to all media around the world, including the UN, including peacekeeping organizations? They're the ones feeding those messages. Why would you believe them? It makes me believe Netanyahu more, even though I can't confirm all of his numbers either. But what he's saying to me, you can test what he's saying much more than you can test what's going on inside of Gaza.
Yeah, one of the things I said to Ryan while that we were listening to that speech was that, you know, this war, if they hadn't taken the time that Israel's taken to warn civilians, to move people out there, basically to do that, to get civilians out of harm's way, you have to tell the bad guys where you're going to attack. which means that if the civilians can get out of the way, your enemy can get out of the way. So one of the reasons that this war in Gaza is taking so long is because Israel's taking such care not to have any unnecessary and to limit the collateral damage. Now, here's another story to Ryan's point. When they rescued, you remember they did that special forces rescue of the hostages, I think it was in June. They went and they rescued these hostages. Two of these hostages were being kept at the house of an Al Jazeera reporter and his family. This is the major news organization where everybody's getting their information about the casualties from what's going on inside Gaza and all that other stuff, so what the situation's like that. And you've got reporters for this news organization actively holding hostages from Israel. You can't trust anything that comes out from that side.
Right. And, you know, the Palestinian Authority is where they try to get some of these large numbers that, again, are not fact-checked but are taken as facts. But I will point out, there are things that you have receipts for when it comes to flyers dropped, messages that are texted out. We've been able, you can go and see those. You can see what they do when it comes to warning. And here's something that backs up Netanyahu. You have people that are there who said they tried to flee, and Hamas refuses to allow them to flee. So things that he says, like they're using them as human shields, can be absolutely confirmed. We have those accounts of that happening. I guess I don't know the things you can't confirm in what he's saying there, because, you know, you can say, okay, we killed 1,200 terrorists, and maybe because of a bomb that went off, shrapnel killed a few dozen civilians. Things like that, maybe the exact numbers can't be confirmed, I understand. But other than that, I think everything else that he's saying, we've had either direct or indirect evidence backing him up in what he said.
Yeah. Well, that fact, Ryan, is exactly what I'm talking about. He says, you know, there's only been a handful. I think he said one or two civilians that have been killed in this entire war. And I don't know if he was just talking about Rafah at the time or if he's talking about the larger war. But regardless, those are facts. It's really difficult to fact check them because the only authorities you have giving you facts about these things would be the IDF and Hamas. The two sides. And so you don't know exactly what is happening. My point is, though, that when I read a list of people who've decided to protest this speech, and I'll read it again, it's Nancy Pelosi, it's Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin of Illinois, it's Bernie Sanders, it's Elizabeth Warren, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ro Khanna, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. Those are the people who have protested the speech. Now, a couple people are in protest in the speech, like you mentioned, Rashida Tlaib. But those people have chosen to believe what Hamas is saying.
Yeah.
Listen to that. They have chosen to believe that Hamas is giving them the truth and Israel is not. That is where they stand.
That's a key point. I don't know if we should fault Joe Biden for not being there. It could be any reason, but he's always basically supported Israel, even though he's come out and said some, oh, I know, I'm going to wag my finger at these guys type of moments. But other than that, he's supported Israel. So I don't know if I would clump him into some of these other people that are deciding to protest. And who knows about his health and the COVID or whatever. He's trying to isolate before the speech tonight. Sure. I thought he was going to meet with these leaders, with Benjamin Netanyahu. I think that the thing that's really scary is with Kamala Harris skipping out on this, that she, I think, is going to pledge her compass towards the Palestinian Authority and say, these are the people we should be listening to when it comes to the Middle East, when it comes to the accounts that are coming off of Israel. That is very scary. And that, to me, is something that Israel should be very concerned with, too, because if the United States is being led by someone that's not on your side, that's a complete shift from all of the other leaders of the free world who have committed against terrorism in that region. So, again, I think Kamala Harris, I don't know if she's on the record giving her true, I guess, thoughts on this whole matter. I think she's tried to sit this out, but her sitting it out here is very telling to me.
Well, this says a lot about her presidential strategy. There are a lot of candidates. You know, you've heard about the No Labels Party and all these people. When they would sit down to do interviews, they'd go, what do you think about these issues? And they go, well, I think we should all just get along. Like, that's not leadership. You can't do that in America today. You're going to come to issues like this, and you have to decide what you're going to do about it. I think she's going to try to avoid all of it and pretend like she's, other than maybe some social issues, which she's clear on, she's going to try to avoid all of it and look foolish in the process.
Well, that's the fundamental issue that the Democrat Party faces in this election, is they've built this coalition of people who on certain issues are so diametrically opposed to one another. They just, you can't bring the Jewish contingent of your party and the pro-Palestine contingent of your party together on this issue. You can't do it. And they're very passionate. And this is probably one of the number one, if not the number one, issue to both sides in that argument.
Just keep in mind, throughout the history of this conflict, Israel has given up land, I think it's 7 times. It's a lot. And every time it never appeases them, because the appeasement of the Palestinians and Hamas is the eradication of Jews. They want them wiped off the planet. I don't know how you appease that. So here you have the leader of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, that I believe him when he says they've gone through these precautions to try to prevent civilian life. And I also believe him when he says he's going in there to eradicate these terrorists, because Hamas is a terrorist organization. All of these things I agree and believe to be true in this conflict. I think that the truth and what needs to happen when people walk away from here is to not make him into the devil, as a lot of the pro-Palestinian protesters will go out there and continue to advocate for the eradication of Jews. We have to drown that out and realize the truth is opposite of what they're saying. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in, 97.1 FM Talk. Just heard Benjamin Netanyahu speak to Congress. I think he's still speaking. Is that right? So he's addressing Congress. There are some people there that are protesting, I guess, silently. Rashida Tlaib, I saw on social media, holding up a sign that says war criminal. I'm listening to the speech. I want to react to a couple of things from it. I don't know what to give first, the serious or the goofy, because it's a very serious speech. I feel like I want to get the goofy out of the way first. Is that okay?
Yeah.
How many presidents of the United States do you know that would be able to go to a foreign country and address their constituents, their people, in their language? To me, it's so impressive, because I don't think any president has ever been able to make an address like this at another country, in another country, in their language, outside of JFK misquoting German, Ich bin ein Berliner, or whatever it was. So to me, I was so impressed, because he can come in here, he can speak English. And I think this leads me to the more serious point. When the news you consume is fed by a terrorist organization, Hamas, then what you are consuming and you're allowing to consume is a Hamas message. Mm-hmm. I can understand why so many people have hatred for Israel, but I'm going to put this on the counterbalance. It wouldn't matter, because they hate Israel. They probably hate Jews because they want to eradicate them from the planet. They hate them so much. I don't think it matters what he's saying here today to them, because to them, it just doesn't. It doesn't mesh with what their view is on these people. So what he is spitting right now is 100% pure truth. He is so true in everything he's saying here. I think there's a lot of people in Congress, luckily, are there to applaud and reaffirm what he's saying is true. That's a good thing, but it's not going to change any of the minds of the people that he was there to speak to.
I think what bothers me is that, I mean, first of all, like you said, with the speech itself, there are very few Americans who can give a speech like that, let alone as English as a second language. But you're right about the message. Now, I can't personally confirm all of the facts that he just gave. Mm-hmm. But you know what else I cannot confirm, and really am more suspicious of, is when Hamas gives me details about the war on their side. They are known liars. They lie all the time. What he's saying about them using their own civilians is 100% true. This isn't new either. This has been going on for decades. They put weapons ammunition stations underneath hospitals and schools so that they can kill their own civilians and control the message. The message is what matters. They are playing everybody all the time. It has been proven that they say, stage hospital visits at times with people in the hospital who are not actually there. Now, it doesn't mean that all of it's false, but it means that we have seen them lie.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you trust them when they're the ones feeding information to all media around the world, including the UN, including peacekeeping organizations? They're the ones feeding those messages. Why would you believe them? It makes me believe Netanyahu more, even though I can't confirm all of his numbers either. But what he's saying to me, you can test what he's saying much more than you can test what's going on inside of Gaza.
Yeah, one of the things I said to Ryan while that we were listening to that speech was is that, you know, this war, if they hadn't taken the time that Israel's taken to warn civilians, to move people out there, basically to do that, to get civilians out of harm's way, you have to tell the bad guys where you're going to attack, which means that if the civilians can get out of the way, your enemy can get out of the way. So one of the reasons that this war in Gaza is taking so long is because Israel's taking such care not to have any unnecessary and to limit the collateral damage. Now, here's another story to Ryan's point. When they rescued, you remember they did that special forces rescue of the hostages? I think it was in June. They went and they rescued these hostages. Two of these hostages were being kept at the house of an Al Jazeera reporter and his family. This is the major news organization where everybody's getting their information about the casualties from what's going on inside Gaza and all that other stuff, what the situation's like that. And you've got reporters for this news organization actively holding hostages from Israel. You can't trust anything that comes out from that side.
Right. And, you know, the Palestinian Authority is where they try to get some of these large numbers that, again, are not fact-checked but are taken as facts. But I will point out, there are things that you have receipts for when it comes to flyers dropped, messages that are texted out. We've been able, you can go and see those. You can see what they do when it comes to warning. And here's something that backs up Netanyahu. You have people that are there who said they tried to flee, and Hamas refuses to allow them to flee. So things that he says, like they're using them as human shields, can be absolutely confirmed. We have those accounts of that happening. I guess I don't know the things you can't confirm in what he's saying there, because, you know, you can say, okay, we killed 1,200 terrorists, and maybe because of a bomb that went off, shrapnel killed a few dozen civilians. Things like that, maybe the exact numbers can't be confirmed, I understand. But other than that, I think everything else that he's saying, we've had either direct or indirect evidence backing him up in what he said.
Yeah. Well, that fact, Ryan, is exactly what I'm talking about. He says, you know, there's only been a handful. I think he said one or two civilians that have been killed in this entire war. And I don't know if he was just talking about Rafah at the time or if he's talking about the larger war. But regardless, those are facts. It's really difficult to fact check them because the only authorities you have giving you facts about these things would be the IDF and Hamas. The two sides. And so you don't know exactly what is happening. My point is, though, that when I read a list of people who've decided to protest this speech, and I'll read it again, it's Nancy Pelosi, it's Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin of Illinois, it's Bernie Sanders, it's Elizabeth Warren, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ro Khanna, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. Those are the people who have protested the speech. Now, a couple people are in protest in the speech, like you mentioned, Rashida Tlaib. But those people have chosen to believe what Hamas is saying.
Yeah.
Listen to that. They have chosen to believe that Hamas is giving them the truth and Israel is not. That is where they stand.
That's a key point. I don't know if we should fault Joe Biden for not being there. Could be any reason, but he's always basically supported Israel, even though he's come out and said some, oh, I know, I'm going to wag my finger at these guys type of moments. But other than that, he's supported Israel. So I don't know if I would clump him into some of these other people that are deciding to protest. And who knows about his health and the COVID or whatever. He's trying to isolate before the speech tonight. Sure. I thought he was going to meet with these leaders, with Benjamin Netanyahu. I think that the thing that's really scary is with Kamala Harris skipping out on this, that she, I think, is going to pledge her compass towards the Palestinian Authority and say, these are the people we should be listening to when it comes to the Middle East, when it comes to the accounts that are coming off of Israel. That is very scary. And that, to me, is something that Israel should be very concerned with, too, because if the United States is being led by someone that's not on your side, that's a complete shift from all of the other leaders of the free world who have committed the against terrorism in that region. So, again, I think Kamala Harris, I don't know if she's on the record giving her true thoughts on this whole matter. I think she's tried to sit this out, but her sitting it out here is very telling to me.
Well, this says a lot about her presidential strategy. There are a lot of candidates. You know, you've heard about the No Labels Party and all these people. When they would sit down to do interviews, they'd go, "What do you think about these issues?" And they go, "Well, I think we should all just get along." Like, that's not leadership. You can't do that in America today. You're going to come to issues like this, and you have to decide what you're going to do about it. I think she's going to try to avoid all of it and pretend like she's, other than maybe some social issues, which she's clear on, she's going to try to avoid all of it and look foolish in the process.
Well, that's the fundamental issue that the Democrat Party faces in this election, is they've built this coalition of people who on certain issues are so diametrically opposed to one another. You can't bring the Jewish contingent of your party and the pro-Palestine contingent of your party together on this issue. You can't do it. And they're very passionate. And this is probably one of the number one, if not the number one, issue to both sides in that argument.
Just keep in mind, throughout the history of this conflict, Israel has given up land, I think it's 7 times. It's a lot. And every time it never appeases them, because the appeasement of the Palestinians and Hamas is the eradication of Jews. They want them wiped off the planet. I don't know how you appease that. So here you have the leader of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, that I believe him when he says they've gone through these precautions to try to prevent civilian life. And I also believe him when he says he's going in there to eradicate these terrorists, because Hamas is a terrorist organization. All of these things I agree and believe to be true in this conflict. I think that the truth and what needs to happen when people walk away from here is to not make him into the devil, as a lot of the pro-Palestinian protesters will go out there and continue to advocate for the eradication of Jews. We have to drown that out and realize the truth is opposite of what they're saying. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in, 97.1 FM Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.